Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of NFL Draft Bible's Player Spotlight here on All Access Football Radio. We are still here at the Standard Hotel on the rooftop on location with Mr. Mitch King out of Iowa, defensive lineman pro prospect. Mitch, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good, man. So how's it going? You know, Big Apple, New York City, my hometown. How do you like it so far?
It's nice. A lot of tall buildings, a lot of drivers going crazy, but I'm not used to it, but it's nice.
So is this your first trip into the big city?
It is. I've never been to New York. This is the furthest east I've been.
And when did you get here? How long have you been here so far?
I've been here about 24 hours, a little over 24 hours. I leave tomorrow morning.
All right, so there's not much you can see there during that time. What have you gotten a chance to see so far?
We went on the Brooklyn Bridge. Obviously, the Statue of Liberty is out my window. Great view here. You know, we've been going to different venues and doing photo shoots and things like that out here. So I've got to see the little knickknacks of New York and things like that. So it's pretty nice.
Now, when you walk outside and walk on the street, I mean, is it kind of like shocking a little bit at all? I remember a couple years ago I spoke to Jay Lehman out of your conference, the Illinois linebacker, and he was like, I think he said, I saw more fur coats and high heel boots in the last hour than I've ever seen in my life. You know, what kind of stands out to you, boom, right away, that looks so different?
Obviously the congestion of just everything. You know, I'm from Iowa, a little urban and things like that, and not so many tall buildings as we see out here and things like that. So that's the biggest difference I see. I like this. It's something that would fit my style, the big city kind of thing. So it's not too shocking for me, but just the buildings and the congestion is a big difference.
And if you make it back to the Big Apple, which I'm sure one day you will, what's something that you'd like to see? What's something that, you know, if you had some time, if you weren't so busy running around doing the giraffe thing, what's something you'd love to check out?
Obviously, you know, the biggest thing is the Statue of Liberty. I'd like to go on top of that and see everything. I've heard big things about that. And then just more knickknacks. I mean, I'm not that big into sightseeing, but I love the things like we went to River Cafe today. We went to, you know, Frank's Chop Shop today and saw little things like that. So it was just nice seeing things like that and just seeing the regular people, not the big showcase sightseeing things.
You know, it's actually funny. Your typical New Yorker probably hasn't even gone to the Empire State Building. Or I should say the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I've only been there once myself. I think it is something more like people who come in from out of town check out, but it is definitely something that if you are here, it's good seeing once. I saw it once. It's definitely a cool experience. You talk about a couple places. What was the best thing you had to eat so far in here?
Room service, actually.
don't say that.
I've been kind of under the weather, so I haven't been making it out too much and see the, you know, the culture of New York at night. So I've ordered room service a couple times, salmon, things like that. So me being under the weather kind of limited my experience.
All right, before you go, either try to grab a slice of pizza or something. You know
all
what
right.
I mean? Something on the street, maybe a hot dog on the street or pizza. Definitely I would recommend the New York City pizza. Give it a try before you leave, all right?
Is that where it's at? Is the vendors on the street?
Well, no, they got the vendors on the street selling the hot dogs.
Okay.
They got hot dogs, pretzels, but you pretty much, I mean, you can't go more than two or three blocks without there being a pizzeria somewhere in Manhattan. So just, you know, try to grab a slice and check that out. And if it doesn't taste good, you can blame me, but I'm sure you'll like it. It might be something a little different, you know. So, you know, what have you done, you know, what's your schedule looking like tomorrow? You know, where are you headed at, and what's the plans? You know, I spoke to Ian Johnson from Boise before and Jared Dillard of Rice, the wide receiver, and, you know, they're trying on all these different clothes and stuff like that. What are your plans for tomorrow?
I have an early flight. I'm going back to Iowa. I'm starting training when I get back, you know, continuing my training, obviously, and just being back in Iowa with the family and friends and things like that. This is kind of probably going to be a low-key month, but a lot of training for me, getting football shape rather than combine and pro day shape.
All right, I hear that. Let's talk about that a little bit since you're bringing us in that direction. You know, I was asking the guys also, how do you compare, like, the combine as opposed to, like, these types of days where, you know, you got to fly somewhere and go to a photo shoot and do all this stuff all day? If you had to do one all over again, what would you prefer to do? Spend the day again at the combine or go through one of these, you know, photo shoot type things?
Obviously, I mean, I would love to do this photo shoot any day over the combine. that's pretty nerve-wracking on top of, you know, everything that goes into the combine, your evaluation. So this is pretty low-key and just have fun. You know, we joked around all day long, had a good time with the guys that were here. And just experienced New York, which, you know, at the combine you're pretty set in your schedule and things like that. You don't get to see a lot.
Yeah, you don't have much time to do anything besides the actual training. Now, this is something that we, you know, in the media kind of debate all the time. You know, what's the value of the combine? How much stock do you put into these types of numbers? And you mentioned, you know, I can't wait to get to back to football training as opposed to combine training. Is that something that you guys even wonder yourselves, like, hey, I'm training, you know, as if, like, I'm training for an Olympic event, not to play football? You know, do you kind of wonder, what are the scouts getting out of this? Hey, haven't they seen me play the game?
Yeah, I think they want you to see, obviously, what kind of athlete you are and things like that in a pressure situation like that. And obviously, they want to see your attributes. But, you know, they say they don't put a lot of stock in it, but you can see...
They do, right?
Yeah, they do. And that's what kind of sucks, you know. For me, I'm, you know, I consider myself a football player. You know, I've started for 4 years, and, you know, things like that. A lot of things can get overlooked when a guy jumps higher, benches a lot more, and runs faster than you at the combine, and he might not be a football player.
Yeah, no, definitely. I agree with that, and I agree with you, too. People downplay it, but don't make no mistake. The teams count on that. They look at those numbers, and they count for something. There's no doubt about that. Let's talk a little... pop culture stuff.
All right.
You know, when you're not playing football, when you're not training for the combine, when you're not flying to some city and getting ready for some shoot or something like that, what do you kind of like to do during your downtime? Besides rest, of course.
Yep. I'm a pretty low-key guy. I mean, I know that's not the answer you want to look for. You know, I love hanging out with my friends and family. We go to the casino often. We go out to eat. We watch movies. During this time, it's pretty low-key for me, just, you know, trying to get in the best shape I can for, you know, the draft and mini camps and OTAs and things like that. So I don't do too much strenuous and anything dangerous that could hurt me. But, you know, I'm family and friends first, and that's, you know, I spend majority of my time with them.
Hey, I'm a family man myself, so what kind of movies do you like to watch?
I'm more of a, you know, a government agent, prison kind of a genre movie, you know, that kind of thing.
Like
maybe
Bourne Identity, stuff like
not
that?
Not so much, you know, the Casino. I don't know, I throw out all these movies, but, you know, I love watching movies, and it's all different genres, you know, from chick flicks all the way to, you know, the hardcore James Bond kind of thing.
All right, what's your favorite chick flick?
Ooh. P.S. I Love You.
P.S. I Love You.
Yep.
I don't even know what to do. I have no idea. That went over my head completely.
I got suckered into watching that one, but it ended up being pretty good.
But it turned out to be okay. Sometimes the ladies get it right.
Tell me about it.
You know what I mean? We don't always give them credit, but sometimes they drag you to something. And, you know, actually, I got dragged to a restaurant a couple of nights ago that I didn't really want to go to. Ended up ordering a filet mignon that was out of this world. So my wife got it right. You know, sometimes you got to give credit where credit is due.
That's for sure.
Now, you talked about Casino, too. What's your game?
I play poker. I think, you know, the odds are more in your favor. I mean, obviously, the casino don't have many odds in poker because you're playing, you know, against another person.
Exactly.
But I feel like it's in more of my control rather than, you know, casino has humongous odds on you in the table games and roulette and craps and like that. But I'm low-key. I don't spend much money at the casino. I just like having fun with my friends and going down there and joking around.
All right, yeah, but you're definitely right, though. I mean, if you're playing against the casino... And if you have a good chance of winning, they're not going to play that game against you. You know what I mean? And you're right, poker, you're playing against other people. So, yeah, it's definitely it's like an American pastime. You know, I think everybody likes to play a little poker now and then. How about sports? Are you a big sports fan? I know I'm a big sports junkie. I try to watch as much as I can, baseball, football, basketball. How about you? Are you just strictly a football guy or you into other sports too?
You know, growing up, I was in other sports. You know, I swam, played baseball, I ran track. And when I got to this level in the competition and the time I had to sacrifice, I kind of fell out of watching too many sports, you know. I kind of got drained out of the sports aspect of it. And it's not that I don't watch, you know, the Final Four. It's not like I don't watch the tournaments or the national championship game if I'm not in it, you know. Things like that. I enjoy that kind of stuff. It's just, you know, I wouldn't sit down and do that just because, you know, once I get home from practice, I'm not going to flip on a basketball game and watch it just because I'm drained from the sports aspect.
Yeah, no, I know. That's something people don't realize, I think, that are outside of it. You know, when you're a fan, people think it's like, you know, once you get into it, even though you love it, it still becomes a little bit of a job, whether you're a player or in the media. And you're right. You know, sometimes it's like, all right, I've been doing sports all day. That's all I do.
Yeah.
You want to get away from it a little bit to some extent, right? How about growing up? You know, who are some of your favorite players growing up in either football or another sport? You mentioned baseball.
Yeah. you know, in football, it was Dan Marino, Zach Thomas, Jason Taylor. I was a huge Miami Dolphins fan. I'm still.
Yeah.
So just growing up and seeing that type of players, Brett Favre, you know, the icons of the game, the tough people, you know. They say Dan Marino isn't the best quarterback, but he is, by the way, ever.
So you don't buy into the
I don't buy into
you don't
the
buy
Super
into
Bowl
the Super Bowl ring.
No.
Why not? Why not? Because we got this is something we talk about a lot. You know, we among just even within our company, we always have these debates. This guy's better, that guy's better. No, but he never won. Tell me that from a football player's perspective. Why not? Why would that be too much credence on winning, even for a quarterback?
Okay, you look at it, yeah, the quarterback's supposed to lead. He can win games, but okay, take Troy Aikman for instance. How many offensive linemen is going to be in the Hall of Fame in those three Super Bowls? The running back, how many wide receivers? How many players on defense? I mean, yeah, Dan Marino had some players around him, some pretty good players, but he didn't have the all-star cast that most of these guys do. And you talk, you know, Patriots, Tom Brady, he didn't have an all-star cast like that, but he is a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. Some people might say he's the best ever with all the Super Bowl rings. But he had the best situation ever because he had everybody working for each other. You know, a lot of experiences you have, a lot of individuals play for themselves and not the team. And Tom Brady fell in a situation where everybody played collectively for each other. And that's how I feel about it. You know, I'm not taking away from any other quarterback or Tom Brady or anything like that because obviously they're amazing football players, but a little biased, Dan Marino's the man.
You guys, although I got to say, I am a New York Jets fan, so I don't know how much love I have for Dan Marino over the years, throwing for 300 yards against my team, the fake spike game against Pete Carroll where we got embarrassed as Jet fans yet again. But, hey, I got to give the man his due. He could throw the rock. And I actually had one player tell me Dan Marino was his favorite player because of Ace Ventura, not even because,
not even because
of his playing days. You know what I mean?
But he made as much as he could out of the little what he had. You know, he didn't really have a superstar running back.
This is true.
You look at all the great, majority of the great quarterbacks have a great running game. A lot of great running backs. So he didn't have an all-star running back to help him.
And he had good receivers, but not like you said, Hall of Fame receivers.
Exactly.
Not Jerry Rice. Not Randy Moss, not Michael Irvin. He had nobody of that ilk. All right, fair enough. Now, let's say, sticking with this theme a little bit, what, you know, I asked these guys, the other guys this as well. If you had the first pick in this draft, who would you take? You're a pass rushing guy, right?
Yep.
So would you take the quarterback or would you take that left tackle to stop guys like you from getting to the quarterback?
You know, I'm probably not the best guy to ask that because I don't know. I haven't watched film. I haven't done anything like that. So I'm just going off, you know, guys like you hyping these guys up and, you know, seeing the highlights on SportsCenter. So I don't know, you know, the down and gritty, dirty things about each player that would change or solidify my pick at that number one. So that's a tough question. But, you know, I think it would have to be like a lineman or something like that, in my opinion. I think, you know, drafting a quarterback or drafting a wide receiver or a DB is kind of risky because, you know, it could be make or break, you know, on a position like that. That's just my opinion.
So you go with, like, you know, let's say a guy like Jake Long last year who you played against.
Yeah, and
Joe Thomas,
talking some good players throughout the years. And but you've also had guys, you know, that haven't had that great of a success coming from a line, you know. The guy that's, you know, a done deal, a solidified player that has been a bust and, you wonder how those little details slip the crack, even on a number one pick.
All right, Mitch, before we let you go, we like to close things out with a segment that we call Three and Out. So I'm going to ask you this first down. I came into the room, Dancing with the Stars was on. Which show would you go further in, Dancing with the Stars or American Idol?
Ooh, I don't watch either.
That just happened to be on.
But I would have to say American Idol because it's more funny. I mean, at the beginning, it's funnier.
All right, second down. What's something on your iPod that you might be embarrassed to admit that you have on there?
Ooh. Maybe Fergie. Maybe a little bit of Fergie.
A little Fergie.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Third down. Who would you say is the toughest player you went up against in your college career?
I started for 4 years, so I played against Ohio State my first game starting, and Nick Mangold, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he plays for the Jets right
yes,
now.
Yes, he
right?
does. Yeah.
And he's okay. I'm just kidding, but I was just a little kid back then, so he did the number on me back then. So I would have to say that. I'd have to say him.
All right, Nick Mangold. I'm happy with that choice.
Yeah,
sure.
he was tough, and maybe I'm a little biased because I was younger and a little smaller, so it might be a different story today. I don't know.
All right, Mitch, thanks a lot for joining us and giving us some time. We definitely want to wish you luck as the draft comes forward. You'll be hearing your name in less than 4 weeks in this very city, New York. You're welcome to come back on our radio show anytime you have a couple minutes.
All right, I appreciate you having me.
Thanks a lot.